Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in the next few moments, what I want to do is just kind of talk a little bit about the passage of Scripture we talked about Sunday. Only do it from Matthew, because in Matthew's gospel, Matthew tells us a part of that story of Jesus walking in water on water that none of the other gospel writers address. Mark doesn't in his account. Luke doesn't record either Jesus walking on water or Peter walking on water. And John doesn't include the story of Peter. But Matthew's gospel does. And in Matthew's gospel, we're going to just pick it up in verse 25. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, so remember that's between 3 and 6 in the morning, and the disciples have been out there on the Sea of Galilee, what would have been typically a very easy trip from where they were at, just west of Capernaum over to Bethsaida, wouldn't have taken very long, but instead they've been out on the water now for at least 8 hours. They've been straining at the oars. It's been very, very difficult. There's mega wind, the Bible says, and so they are worn out. They are afraid. It is a bad storm. All of a sudden, they see Jesus, and he is walking on water near their boat. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Now, I want to make just an observation along that line, that when you and I give in to fear, when we're motivated by fear, when fear is controlling our thought, we're not going to recognize God. We're not going to recognize what he's doing. We're not going to recognize his presence near us. Here's Jesus. I mean, they've spent a long time with him. It is him. It's not like he is acting like he is a ghost. It's Jesus on the water. He's doing something they've never seen before, but it's him doing it. But what's happened is, their fear in that moment has so overwhelmed them that they can't recognize Jesus. And that's one of the reasons why it's very, very important that you and I cultivate in our life the things that will lead to a strong faith. That we walk by faith, that we live by faith, that we believe God, that we cultivate a sensitivity to the Lord, so that when we're going through life, our default is to look to him. Our default is to say, I'm in trouble, I need God's help, I know he's going to show up. Rather than find ourselves in trouble, God is there, but we can't see him, and if we do see him, we wouldn't recognize him because of fear. Here are the disciples, and they said, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart. In other words, get a hold of yourself. Get a grip. It is I. That ego on me, that emphasis, I am. And then do not be afraid. The things God wants us to know that he wants us to do in a crisis, he wants us to get a hold of ourselves. So if you're up against it in an area of your life, if there's an area where there's difficulty that you're encountering, a trial, a struggle, you don't know what to do, don't be afraid. Get a hold of yourself. Recognize he's the great I am. He's the ever-present, eternal God right there with you now. And don't be afraid. Well, verse 28, let's see. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Well, that's really a bold statement. And Jesus said to him in verse 29, Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. I mean, it's amazing. Think about this. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like he's walking on this invisible bridge over the water to Jesus. Why does Peter want to go to Jesus? I mean, what is it that's motivating him? It's funny how as the longer you preach, you see some things differently and you preach things differently. I used to say, well, you know, hey, he's afraid his boat's going to go down. It's better to be with Jesus than be in the boat, you know. But, you know, as I've thought about it, you know, humanly speaking, you know, the whole idea of getting out on the waves and doing that, I don't think it's fear that's motivating him. I think what Peter is doing is Peter is saying, listen, Jesus has invited me to be his disciple. Jesus has invited me to learn from him so that in that day, a rabbi, if you were invited to become a follower of a rabbi, it was an invitation. The rabbi was saying, listen, I believe you can do what I'm doing. That if you'll spend time with me, you can do what I do. And Peter has seen that happen. Peter's preached the message Jesus is preaching. He sent the disciples out and they preached, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sends them out and he says, cast out demons, and they cast out demons. He sends them out and he says, heal people, and they heal people. And so now here's another opportunity for Peter to do what Jesus does. And Jesus is walking on water. And so Peter says, if it's you, I want to do what you're doing. If you're walking on water, I want to walk on water. So if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Verse 30, we read this. Peter starts walking on water, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Ever been there before where you wanted to do what Jesus did or was doing, what you've seen him do, what you know he does, and you're saying, you know what, I want to do that. I want to believe. I want to see God. I want to pray for people and see God heal them. I want to be able to draw people to a relationship with the Father. I want to do what Jesus did. I want to preach. I want to talk to people. I want to live a powerful life like Jesus did, only to find yourself as you step out in faith to find yourself sinking. Have you ever been there? Man, I've been there on more than one occasion. That's an awful feeling. What is it that happens in that moment? Why is it that Peter sinks? In a word, it's doubt. I mean, look at it in verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? The thing that caused Peter to sink was doubt. And I think there, you know, as we're walking with the Lord and we're seeking to grow in our faith and our responsiveness to the Lord, I think there's some things that if we're not careful, we allow to happen in our faith walk that diminish faith, increase doubt, and cause us to stumble. I want to give you just three things, and then we're going to pray. Doubt grows when we forget Jesus' words. Doubt grows when we forget Jesus' words. When we forget what it is that he's told us to do, when we forget what his word says he will do, that's when doubt grows. I mean, Jesus had said to Peter, come. He said, come. You can do it. And Peter did do it as long as he was acting on the words of Jesus. But if you and I forget Jesus' words, what's going to happen is doubt is going to begin to invade our heart. The best thing any of us can do to build faith is to live in the Word of God and let God's Word live in us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you and I hear the Word of God, the more we read the Word of God, the more we think about the Word of God, the more it builds our faith to do the things God has called us to do. Second, doubt grows when we get our eyes on our circumstances. Look at it in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me," when he saw the wind. So, you know what? His circumstances were impossible. It wasn't the impossibility of his circumstance that caused him to sink. It was when he got to looking at the waves instead of looking at Jesus. When he began to look and say, "Boy, but this, I mean, I'm walking on water. I mean, I'm in the middle of the sea. And he's seeing the lightning." You have to believe that there is lightning just going crazy around him, and there's thunder, and there's this you know, very intense wind that is there on the sea. He's a fisherman. He's looking at his circumstances and he's saying, "Wait a minute, I can't do this. Wait a minute, I can't do that. I've never seen anybody else do this. Wait a minute, what am I doing? This is impossible. This can't be done." And when we begin to look at our circumstances through the lens of our ability, doubt will fill our heart every single time, because none of us are strong enough, none of us are powerful enough, none of us are wise enough to be able to do the things that God supernaturally wants to do in us and through us to the building of his kingdom and the blessing of people's lives around us. I mean, none of us. And if we're saying, "I got to have the answer, I don't know how I'm doing this, I don't know how this is possible." When we begin to start thinking about ourselves and we begin to start thinking in our own mind, according to our own thinking, according to our own logic, according to our own wisdom, doubt's going to fill our heart. And here's Peter. That's exactly what happens. I'm going to ask musicians to come here. Number three, doubt grows when our hearts are hard to what God is doing. When our hearts are hard, when God is working around us and we're more interested in just the miracle itself than what God is doing through the miracle. That we're not asking God, what is it that you're speaking to me in the way you're working right now? Mark chapter 6 and verse 51, and we kind of talked about it a few moments ago, when he got into the boat with them and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. They weren't ready for what God wanted to do in their life. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came walking to them on the water. And the reason why is not because God wasn't working miracles. It was just that he was working miracles. They just weren't open. Their hearts were hard. They were only interested in the miracle for the miracle's sake rather than in thinking about what God is doing in the situation. You know, hey, God wants to do miracles. Settle that in your heart. God wants to do things. But if all we're in it for is God doing things, we've missed the whole reason behind him doing things. God wants to work in your life, but God wants to grow you. So if you swing in your life from miracle to miracle to miracle, but you never grow in your understanding and your knowledge of God, if your faith's not strengthened, if your heart is not enlarged, if your mind doesn't increase in wisdom and a knowledge and an understanding of the Lord. And I'm not sure we can understand, in fact, I am sure we cannot understand everything God is doing in our life, but I think we can understand a lot more than we often do if we'll wait on the Lord and say, "God, I just simply want, I want to know you, and I want to know your way, and I want to know what it is that you're doing, because you're working so powerfully, and I never want to be in a situation where I miss the significance of that, or I'm not sensitive to and faith-filled toward your working in my life and the lives of people around me. God, I want to understand you. I want to walk with you. Yes, I want to see God do supernatural things. But more than that, I want all that he does to lead me deeper in my knowledge of him, to give me a closer walk with him, because that's going to prepare me for the next storm of life." Do you realize if the disciples had understood what he was doing in the feeding of the 5,000, when they'd have been in the storm, they'd had a totally different perspective. The gospel would read differently if they had understood the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But they didn't understand it. Therefore, they're simply afraid. They're overwhelmed. They don't recognize God's working. They don't understand what he's doing. And Jesus says, boy, you have such little faith. Now think about that. Such little faith. He says, if you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will happen for you. So whatever amount of faith they had, theirs was so little, it was way smaller than the grain of a mustard seed. I mean, that's an interesting thing to think about. And just to say, Lord, let the things you do not just work to the deliverance of me from my most recent emergency, but let them work faith in my life to believe you in the next trial I encounter. Let them strengthen me. Does God want to do things? Sure he does. And God's going to do things tonight. I believe that's a word from the Lord that we heard earlier, the word of knowledge for children. It's interesting because as I was, you know, just praying, I was feeling like tonight God wanted to touch the children represented in this room. You got a child that has a need. God wants to help you with that. He wants to work in that. But don't just have him do a miracle in your child's life and miss the whole reason behind it. Does he want to help your child? Sure. Does he want to help you as a parent? Sure. But he wants you to grow in your knowledge and your understanding of him and in your faith through that to believe him, not to be bound up with worry, but to say, you know what? God's got this. God's going to take care of this.